May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 471. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. Hymn 471.
Let us read together from God's holy word, from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May God bless that reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. Most merciful and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, once more we're favoured to gather round thy word. Lord, it is toward evening, and this day is far spent. We humbly beseech thee that thou would come and tarry with us, and abide with us, both for this service and in the untrodden steps of our lives. We bring before thee again those mourning souls here this evening. Lord, we do pray that thou art comfort those that mourn, that those hearts may be touched by thy sympathizing love, that thou art come right where they are and help them and bless them and bring them safely through. And we pray, Lord, for thy servants who expect to take the funerals coming shortly. We do pray, Lord, that all needed help and grace and blessing may be given. And we pray for the families and loved ones and friends who hope to gather. Pray, Lord, that thy presence may be known and felt. And Lord, that we read in thy word that thou didst weep here below at the grave of Lazarus, as those mourning brethren gathered, thy heart moved with compassion, and we read that thou didst weep. Lord, then may there be that sweet and solemn savour and blessing of a mingling of a Saviour's tears with the tears of thy people. O Lord, do be with them and help them through the day that is a mountain before them. But, O Lord, we do pray that it may be a time of thy blessing, that this it may be the sanctifying effect, that hearts may be touched, oh, that eyes may be opened to see a never-ending eternity. And as we sung in that first hymn, that each heart may say, from the very soul of their hearts, prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. O Lord, it is of thy grace. If we are to be numbered amongst thy people, prepared of thee to stand before thee, then it is all of grace. And may that grace flow like a mighty river through this congregation and through our churches. And may, Lord, thy Holy Spirit come and quicken us and prepare us and bless us. Oh, that thy blessing may follow the services of thy house this day, both here and where thy name is faithfully preached, where'er thy people gather. Oh, may it be as with the apostles, the Lord, working with them, confirming the word, with signs following. Oh, Lord, for thy honour and glory, now do quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me, or I die. Oh, that there may be that cry going up. Oh, that there may be souls quickened, born again, the breath of life breathed into dry bones. Oh, Lord, we humbly beseech thee. Oh, that there may be that sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees, the Holy Spirit working, moving in the midst. Oh, we pray for it here, we pray for it at all thy causes of truth. Oh, leave us not, we pray, take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Oh, where would we be left to ourselves? Oh, but Lord, we beseech thee, come and, oh, may all our worship be ordered by thee. Give us the desire in our hearts to truly worship and praise thee. Give us that thanksgiving in our hearts, a spirit of thankfulness, and a spirit of confession. Oh, to be found confessing our sins. Oh, we need that repentance from thee. Lord, do impart it to each. Oh, there may be confession of sin, and then the leading by the Spirit to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his suitability to meet the needs of his people. Oh, may the Holy Spirit come and take of the things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. Lord, thou knowest the cases of each who gather here. Lord, we know they are mourning ones, but oh, thou knowest each heart, each burden, each concern. Oh, may each of the friends be enabled in all their troubles, in all their difficulties, to come unto thee, to cast all their cares upon thee, and prove that thou dost care for them, and make known thyself to them in their pathways. May they be found leaning upon thee, trusting thee. Lord, we pray for more faith, more grace. Take away that unbelief in our hearts. Oh, may sin not have dominion over us, but that do cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us this day. Oh, then may broken hearts be bound up. May hearts be touched. May thy word this night meet cases and touch hearts. A word in season for one. Oh, and comfort to another. Oh, may there be those who have come with a need, a desire, a burden, a longing to hear thy voice. Oh Lord, may it be this place, the meeting place between heaven and earth. Oh Lord, we do pray that thy Spirit may come and with power impart the words of eternal life into souls, we pray, that they may go on their way rejoicing. Oh, that there may be some things done, good things done, this day, in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Oh, that this may be one of thy blessed appointments. Oh, that divine appointment, Lord, where eternal things must be accomplished. Oh, then may there be something that remains. something that we can take home. Oh, may there be a portion for 7 and also for 8. May there be Ruths who have come gleaning in the gospel field, desiring a handful of purpose, and going away with their cups overflowing. Oh, Lord, we do pray that there may be those with that desire in their hearts to hear thy voice, to see thy face by faith, to know that thou art with them. Lord, we do pray that thou give us that sense of thy gracious presence, that our hearts may be warmed, that we may leave thy house different to how we came, that we may face the coming week, knowing that thou art with us. Oh, fear not into our hearts. Lord, we do pray for those who are unwell. Do lay thy healing hand upon them, those who are unable to be here. We do pray, Lord, that thou art meet with them where they are. Those with long drawn out illnesses, we do pray, Lord, that thou art sustain them in the way. And we thank thee, Lord, for every mercy and favour thou dost give us, the providential things, the spiritual things. Oh, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that we can meet, even in the wicked day in which we're found, we can meet undisturbed from the world. Oh, we can meet freely round thy word, without fear of outward persecution. Oh Lord, we would not take these things for granted. We would remember those in other places, in other parts of the world, who are not blessed with these great mercies and are persecuted for thy name's sake. Lord, we do pray that thou be with them. And Lord, we do ask that as we meet, that thou wilt meet with us, and that Satan may be taken from us. For we cannot speak or hear unless thou art with us. Oh, we pray that thoughts of next week and last week are taken away. We pray that thou wilt set our affections on things above, that thou wilt draw us to thyself. Oh Lord, we do pray that thy hand may reach out and pull us to thee. Take us to thyself. Speak, Lord, say to my soul, I am thy salvation. May thy word this night confirm evidences, strengthen faith. Build us up, Lord, in our most holy faith. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and bless thine own word. And we do pray, Lord, for any with particular hard things or difficult cases, secret things, oh, those with soul troubles, oh, the mountain of sin, who know not their interest in the Saviour's blood. Oh Lord, those with that burden of sin who sought thee and not found thee. Oh, may it be, Lord, a finding place this evening. May thy word find them out. Do speak to them, Lord, we pray, and bless them. And any, Lord, who may gather unconcerned, who all these things are just a noise. Oh, may they be given new ears and new eyes to hear thy truth and thy word, to read in thy word their pardon, their forgiveness. Oh, Lord, how we need thee. We are sinful creatures. Oh, we're constantly falling and faltering. Oh, we're prone to doubts and fears. There's much to distress and perplex. There's busy lives that, in all the mad scenes of this world, We feel that the cares of this life, the thorns choking the word. Oh, but may it be thy mercy this evening that our hearts are that good ground and there may be that good seed sown in that takes root downward and springs forth fruit upward for eternal life. Oh, do help us with our infirmities. Take Satan from us. Pardon our every sin. Bless us with a sense of thy redeeming blood and love. Fill our hearts with the love of Christ. Oh, make thy people willing in the day of thy power. Oh, may we have that constraining, compelling love in our hearts. Oh, that deaf and dumb spirit removed. And the honour and glory to thy holy name. We ask, Lord, that thou art have mercy upon us. Be with us in the unknown way. And Lord, as we fast hasten on to a never-ending eternity, oh, may we be brought there, trusting wholly upon thee. Oh, Lord, then, do what it takes, we pray, but may not a hoof be left behind. Those that we know and love, those connected with us, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon us. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 477. Give me the wings of faith to rise within the veil and see the saints above. How great their joys, how bright their glories be. Hymn 477.
Thank you.
down with me to the chapter we read, First Epistle General of Peter, chapter 1. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verses 3 and 4. Peter's first epistle, chapter 1. And verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In this epistle, Peter addresses it to the strangers, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And beloved friends, us as Gentiles, we're strangers. Paul takes this up in the epistle to the Ephesians and calls us strangers and foreigners. We're not of the Commonwealth of Israel. We have no particular and peculiar love toward us based on our national identity as the children of Israel, the ancient people of God had. But we are amongst the heathen, the outsiders, strangers and foreigners. And with the bringing in of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament day in which we live, this glory of the gospel, which encompasses both the believing Jews and the believing Gentiles, the strangers. And we're told that they're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father, having in eternity past chosen a people, a people which we know not the number of, but beloved friends, he knows every single one. Every single one. And every single one of them is dear to him, dearly loved, dearly bought. And he chose them because he would and because he could. And not in any merits of their own, and not in any for any particular reason other than his sovereign, free grace and love. And he chose them through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have our text, blessed be God, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Peter sets forth a foundation truth, our hope, our standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And here is the first foothold this evening for you, tempted, buffeted, tried children of God. Here is the first foothold as you stand upon the rock, Christ Jesus, as Satan seeks to buffet you and blast you with wind and a horrible tempest to try and shake you, if he could, from that foundation. This is your foundation. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sacred humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his Father was both God and Father. Ah, the man Christ Jesus. Praying to his Father this foundation truth, that he, our Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to his Father, in covenant bonds and love, assumed as the Word, he was the Word, ever living, ever dwelling with the Father and the Spirit from eternity past, the Word, the Son of God, assumed the body in the womb of Mary, the Holy Spirit overshadowing her, and that holy thing that was born. Beloved friends, these are sacred truths. These are our foundation. The Word, he ever was the Son of God. He wasn't Jesus Christ then. He was the Word of God, the foundation of the earth, at creation, that the Word was God and was with God. And he in the womb of Mary, that holy thing, the Word of God, and a human body and soul. Oh, that mystical union between the two. The Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary. And there, conceived in the womb of Mary, this holy thing. Oh, may we ever remember that the Son of God did not appear then. He was from the foundation of the world. Oh, but that holy thing, thou shalt call his name Jesus. That the man, Christ Jesus, obedient to his Father, obedient to his God, man and God, mystical union, blessed truth. It behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. You see, they're fallen in sin. They haven't got an obedient bone in their body, apart from following obediently Satan's plans and schemes. And yet, these souls, loved with an everlasting love, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, this mystical union in the womb of Mary, that the Holy Spirit involved, the whole Trinity, wondrously, blessedly, perfectly working in union, bringing about the salvation of his dear people, and that the Father gave the Son, and the Son willingly obeyed and took that people, and the Holy Spirit is now revealing this blessed Jesus into the hearts of those whom are called. Oh, this blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He, our Lord Jesus Christ, took a body, took a human body, a real body, flesh and bone, but a holy body. Oh, may you and I ever remember, separate from sin, a holy body. Therefore, he had none of the infirmities that sin brings. Death did not reign over him. sin, death is the fruit of sin, and he was holy, spotless, Lamb of God. So we have a foundation truth, another foothold for you and I to cling to stand on. And it's this, he was holy, a holy body. And you know, we have two words, immortal and mortal. But the Lord Jesus Christ was between the two. What do I mean? Immortal, cannot die. Well, he did. Mortal, must die. Well, he didn't need to. He had no sin to make him. Oh, where does he come then? There's no word, is there, to explain him? He's immortal. He cannot die. He has no sin to make him die. But he died. He really died. So he must be mortal. No, you see, he willingly laid down his life. Oh, this another vital truth. And you know, it's this that is our one of our greatest claims, his obedience. You see, sin was not reigning over him. Death was not reigning in him. He was free from sin. And though the sins of his dear people were imputed upon him as a sacrifice for his people, yet it was not his sin. But without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He must die then, in room, place, and stead of his people. He came to this earth to die. There was a shadow over him. He came with a work to do, to bring about the redemption of his people, an everlasting salvation. But, beloved friend, it wasn't forced on him. That the nails didn't kill him. Oh, friends, may we understand these things. They're sacred, holy things, and we must tread carefully. But, oh, as he hung on that cross, oh, what do we hear? Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And with that, what do we read next? He bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. A voluntary act, in love and obedience to the Father, in love to his people. He bowed his head. No one made him. He bowed it, and he gave up the ghost. Oh, the agonies of the cross. Oh, we must not sweep them away. A real man suffering agony. But his life must be laid down by him and him only. He says, this commandment have I received from my Father. The Father gave him that commandment that he should have power to lay his life down and have power to take it again. His power. Not the power of Pontius Pilate. Not the power of the Roman soldiers. The centurion. His power. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This holy thing. Oh, this real man, separate from sin. It's a beautiful subject, isn't it? Oh, the glories of Emmanuel, God with us, the humility of him. Oh, what greater sign of humility can you see than seeing that dear babe in the manger? Oh, coming from heaven to earth to suffer, to bleed and to die. Blessed be the God of our Father and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. the Holy Spirit, quickening souls, being born again, being born in them, turning them around, converting their souls, giving life where death reigns, touching hearts, that the Holy Spirit applying the precious blood of Christ into the hearts of his dear people, needy sinners, finding him abundant in mercy. Oh, you know, beloved friends, what an abundant mercy it is when souls are touched by love divine. What an abundant mercy it is when the Lord Jesus is revealed by the Holy Spirit to a poor, trembling, needy sinner as having suffered in their room, place and stead, as the Lord quickens them into life, as the Lord touches them and lifts their eyes to behold the Lord Jesus, makes them look away from themselves. So much of the beginnings of the work of grace is that inward looking, and it must be so. We must know ourselves, we must know what we are, we must be taught our sins, shown our sins, have them revealed to us. How can we confess something we don't know anything of? Oh, show me iniquity of them, the deceitfulness of them, the vileness of them, how God abhors them. Oh, but then, with that view of his abhorrence of sin, see the wonders of redemption. See that wondrous redeeming love flowing from the Godhead, that he would not rest until every child of God, their pardon is sealed, their redemption is brought, that the debt being paid at Calvary, that the precious blood of Christ shed for sinners. Oh, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, you know, friends, another foundation truth here. This real man, the true incarnate Son of God, lived his life here below as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. He was mocked and scourged. He was buffeted. He was tempted by Satan. He endured Satan's buffetings. He walked and lived a life that his people couldn't live, that they failed to live daily. Obedient, his face steadfast towards Jerusalem, a holy zeal within him, love to his Father, love to his beloved bride, the Church of God. Oh, obedience flowing from every action, every deed. Love to his people in every word. And he showed forth the abundant mercy. Oh, Moses, before he went up Mount Sinai the second time to receive the tables of stone, the law written on the tables of stone for the second time, he beseeches the Lord. He says, show me thy glory. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord wonderfully did. Oh, beloved friends, and you know, sinners, even in our day, are beseeching the Lord for the same mercy. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. God be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord passed by before Moses. He made all his goodness pass before him. He proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in in goodness and in truth. Oh, that he proclaimed it, his name, his glory, the glories of Almighty God, merciful and gracious. And when a poor trembling sinner, with all need of salvation, with a never-dying soul that isn't right for heaven, with a mountain of sin overshadowing them, with a great debt they can't pay, with no hope of ever being able to pay it, comes on mercy's ground and pleads the name of Jesus and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, the Lord passes by and shows them his glory, the mercy flowing, merciful and gracious, the merciful and gracious God. If you carry on to read his proclaiming, he proclaims he's righteous. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we see both things? Oh, the righteousness and peace. How an almighty God can have justice satisfied on one hand and show mercy on the other. How can he do the two things? How can he strictly and righteously impart the law that he set down where there is no mercy and yet be merciful at the same time? Oh, righteousness and peace. They've kissed each other, haven't they, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that mediator, that seat of mercy for us. You know, we have no Ark of the Covenant now. Oh, it's done away with, that there is the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy seat and the ways marked out with blood and sinners following that path, enter into the holiest of holies by a new and living way. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And he gives his Spirit, and his Spirit quickens and raises up an expectation in the sinner's heart, an expectation of glory, an expectation of heaven, and gives hope where hope was not to be found. Gives hope to a hopeless sinner. Gives hope to a helpless sinner. Raises them up unto a lively hope by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, and you know, friends, as our glorious Saviour bowed his head at Calvary and he gave up the ghost, he commended his spirit into the hands of his Father. And there his lifeless body, taken down from the cross and laid in the tomb. Yet, friends, he did not suffer corruption. We must remember his holy body, though human, though real flesh and blood and bones, yet without sin. And he lay lifeless, but he fulfilled those words in the psalm, "Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." No decaying of that body, no imperfections, incorruptible, no death in that body. He was dead, really dead, body and soul parted, lifeless body in the tomb, but a holy thing, spotless, undefiled. And on that third day, as he rose by the power of his Father, the power of God rising him from that tomb, from death, so his spirit and body uniting again, and there the rising with him, the whole entire church of God, the Lord's dear people, As he cried, "It is finished," his father stamped a seal on that sacrifice. Justice, he stamped satisfied across it all. The debts of the church, satisfied, paid. The mighty debt, the great sins of every one of his dear people. If there was one sin left unpardoned for his dear people, the Lord Jesus would not have risen. But what a seal, what a sign that his sacrifice had risen as a sweet-smelling savour. The Lord well pleased with his beloved Son, with that sacrifice, that spotless Lamb of God, the stamp marked on it, satisfied. Justice satisfied. Oh, and peace. Peace brought in. Peace between an angered God and guilty sinners. Peace. God and sinners reconciled, brought together. Oh, this new and living way. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, to an inheritance incorruptible. He raises them to an expectation of heaven. He raises them to an expectation of an inheritance hereafter. To an inheritance not where their sins deserve to take them. Not rewarding them according to their iniquities. Not dealing with them after their sins. But on the grounds of mercy and free grace and pardon and love and blood, an inheritance that's incorruptible. This inheritance that cannot die, cannot be tainted, cannot be eroded, cannot be killed. The incorruptible inheritance of the saints of God. Oh, this great and glorious High Priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he rose triumphant from the grave, so rose with him all his dear people. Bound up in that bundle of life, there, beloved friends, every child of God is as good as in heaven, you see. The glorious certainty of it, that every one of them it will be found there at last. And none of them will be left behind. None of them will be left out. None of them will be left to stand at that great day on their own. This glorious and great High Priest will perform that office of advocate. That great day. He's now risen. He rose bodily, friends. That same holy, harmless, spotless, innocent body. That holy thing. That body that was free from all sin. Real flesh, real bones, real human body and soul is now in heaven. He rose bodily into heaven. He took them, he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And he ascended bodily into heaven. At other times, in his revelation to them after his resurrection, he had appeared suddenly in their midst with the door shut, but there. The final time before his second coming, he rose with eyes to see, bodily into heaven, and now he sits at the Father's right hand. What a sight. Oh, may our eyes behold him. May it be our blessed privilege to behold the King in all his beauty, without a cloud between. You know, we have maybe, don't we, a glimpse of him by faith. But it's through the lattice sometimes. It's through the mist of sin. There's a cloud between, but oh, to see him face to face, to truly worship him without the hindrances of this body of sin. Oh, that this inheritance of the saints may be ours, an incorruptible one. It's undefiled and fadeth not away. Oh, you see, you know and have feared the Lord, those who fear the Lord, those who have felt, have handled, have tasted. Maybe many years ago, you say, well, it was a long time ago. Beloved friends, your inheritance fadeth not away. You may have lost a slight savour of it. Oh, ask him for another touch. Oh, ask him for another sweet token. Ask him for another foretaste of heaven. Oh, plead with him for it. Beg him for it. Oh, be not satisfied with once having known. Oh, come to him again. Oh, may he kindle that flame in your heart again. May he touch you with love divine. May he breathe that flame into your heart again, to warm you, to kindle you, to give you that sweet foretaste of an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. Oh, may we be found amongst them. That this rest that remaineth for the people of God, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Not in your hands, friend. It's not this unspeakable gift for you to handle and to lose. And to defile, preserved in heaven for you. And as you get to your journey's end, as the Lord prepares you to stand before his face, so you'll be brought into a sweet acquaintance with it, this inheritance in heaven that's reserved for you. Oh, it's reserved. It's reserved for you. No one can take it away. Satan may try and steal the sweet savour that you have a hope in it, but he can't. He's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You didn't give yourself the faith in the first place. Jesus was the author of it, and he's going to be the finisher of it for you, and it will finish in heaven. And he's never lost one, and he never will. He cannot. He's the author and finisher of our faith, and he maintains it in our hearts. Oh, we thank the Lord this evening that it's not down to us to maintain our standing in God. The Lord holds us fast. The Lord keeps us near him. He plants us on the rock, and he holds us there. But, oh, beloved friends, may we have the signs and evidences in our lives that we are standing on the rock, that the rock, Christ Jesus. See, we're warned in this epistle that the Lord will bring us into seasons of temptation. He says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Beloved friends, oh, are you enduring a trial of your faith? May you thank God for it. We wouldn't pray for trouble. But, beloved friends, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And where there's real, true, living faith given, it will be tried. It must be tried. You've the greatest trial of your faith yet to come. If you're one of the Lord's dear people, you've a never-ending eternity before you. And you love him whom having not seen ye love. You have a hope of heaven. You've not attained. And if you look at your evidence of your life and the sins within your heart, you say, I'll never reach there. But beloved friends, he tries our faith. He builds us up in grace and in faith and in trust of him. And he steers us and points us and brings us to that final test of our faith. And beloved friends, the day of our death, what greater test of our faith can there be? You know, you may have had many mountains before you. Wonderful thing if you can look back and see them being made a plain. See the Lord appearing. What is he doing? Why is he doing it? Is he willingly afflicting you? Is he being malicious in any way? What is his plan? What is his meaning? Beloved friends, he's building up your faith. He's preparing you to stand before him. And there's a monster to look into. Death. Oh, who can stare the monster in the face? Well, we have a living witness. We have a dying witness. We have those that we know and love, those that have passed away. And beloved friends, we've seen them stand and stare the monster in the face. Oh, who can stand except the Lord be with them? There he brings them. There he meets with them. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. The certainty of it. Then, beloved friends, may you have this lively hope. May you be looking away from yourself for your hope of eternity. Looking away from your sins. What were the Israelites told to do? Look to the brazen serpent. Oh, and what do we do? As enabled by the grace of God, oh, we look to him. We look to Jesus. We look unto him. In Zechariah, we read this. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. They shall look unto him. They shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. Oh, beloved friends, may you and I, with all our sins and faults and failings, with all the treachery of our hearts, with all the disappointment in ourselves, we're not what we should be. Oh, we're not what we would be. Oh, but may we be found looking unto Jesus, to view him there at Calvary. May we see him whom we have pierced. If you and I are to be found in heaven, then it's our sins that nailed him there. If you and I are to be found in heaven, it's our sins that made him leave heaven and come to earth. Oh, beloved friends, if you and I are to be found in heaven, it's our sins that wove that crown of thorns. Oh, but it's his redeeming love and blood. It's his love flowing to us that brings our love flowing in return. It's a sense of his expiring breath, a sense of his death that brings true godly sorrow and repentance, and mourning for him. Oh, we look on him whom we have pierced. And May we understand that the words in Isaiah, for it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Beloved friends, what an unspeakable gift. The Father gave his Son as a sin offering for his dear people. You know, that lamb that the priest laid his hand on, and there he confessed the sins of himself and of the people. And then he took the life of that lamb and slay it on the altar. Beloved friends, we see a lamb there with no choice, no party to it. We see a lamb in the hands of a man. Beloved friends, may we see the Lord Jesus, who willingly offered up himself on the altar of God. He is the sacrifice. He is the priest. He is the sacrifice. Oh, his blood cleanses from all sin. His glorious life, the robe of righteousness, that the sinner's only hope. May we see the Lord Jesus in all his beauty and fullness as prophet, priest and king. A priest made after the order of Melchizedek. A priest and a king. And that sin-atoning sacrifice. Oh, may the Lord give us the sense of it in our hearts, that we may be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, for the people of God, for sinners. Oh, may you trace out in the word of God, who are these? Who are these that fly as a cloud and to the dove, and as the doves to their windows? Who are these dear people? Who are these favoured ones, these chosen ones? Well, beloved friends, they're sinners. They're undeserving. They don't merit it. They never earned it. They could not buy it. Sinners who have no hope in themselves, and they have such a need of him. They flee for refuge to him, as the Holy Spirit brings up feelings of need and a hiding place, insufficiency in themselves, that the Holy Spirit reveals a sufficiency in Christ. Beloved friends, sinners, not the righteous. Sinners, Jesus came to save. They're the lost ones. You may see yourself tonight, lost. You look at eternity. You see and have witnessed death amongst you here. And you say, what of me? What if I'm called? And all you see is a lost soul. Oh, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, who's taught you that you're the lost soul? Who showed you a never-ending eternity? Beloved friends, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Beloved friends, what more can he say to you? Sinners, whose only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. May it be so. Amen.
Last Lord's Day were £665, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Ramsbottom next Lord's Day will also present the prizes at the Sunday School, God willing. Our friends at Oakington hope to hold their New Year's services on Wednesday, and God willing, the funeral of Mr. Bill Parrish will be held on Friday the 30th at 2 o'clock, to be taken by Mr. Izzard. Let us close with hymn number 54. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honour of his word, the glory of his cross. Hymn 54.
Forgive all that thy pure eyes have seen amiss in our worship this day. Do take us each home in peace and safety. be with us in those untrodden steps of our lives. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for ever. Amen.